When was the last time that you took inventory of the areas of your life that you would like to see a blessing in? It's been said that today is the father of tomorrow, and this is true across the board, whether you're talking about parenting, politics, or personal relationships. We reap what we sow. This is the topic of today's podcast. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. Well, hey, everybody, welcome to the podcast. Today is Tuesday. I'm going to take a break from the headlines, give everybody a little bit of a breather from the insanity that is happening in Washington, D.C. and around the country. There's actually some good news, and we'll talk about that a little bit on Wednesday. But today, I want to take just a little bit of time and talk to you about the principle of sowing and reaping. So you guys hear me talk on the show all the time about sowing and reaping when it comes to parenting, when it comes to the education of our children. And I'm going to continue to beat the horse when it comes to the topic of education, because more than almost any other topic in our lives, the conversation around our children is an absolute indicator of the principle, the godly principle of reaping and sowing. The Bible teaches us that our children are our responsibility before the Lord. They don't belong to the government. They don't belong to the state. They don't belong to a school. They are given to their parents to raise, to follow, and be disciples of the Lord Jesus as they enter into adulthood. But the principle of sowing and reaping is more than just parenting. And what we are today really is a result of what we think about in our day-to-day lives, physically, mentally, spiritually, what we take in to our souls and our spirits via media, whether it's social media or movies or music or whatever it is. If we want to reap a harvest of blessing, we need to sow good things into our lives. And sowing and reaping really is a spiritual process in which spiritual guidelines that God gives us in His Word must be followed. And this is true in every aspect of our lives. So I was thinking about this today, and I was actually talking about the principles of sowing and reaping with my daughter on our way into the studio today. And we were talking specifically about some schoolwork that she's struggling with and some things that she wants to do. And we were talking about the principles of sowing and reaping. If you want to reap a harvest of blessing, then you want to put the work in on the front end, right? If we want to reap an awesome harvest of wheat, then we put the work in on the front end in anticipation of the harvest. And what we need to realize when we're talking about sowing and reaping from a position of being men and women who follow Jesus is that once we came into the kingdom of God, once you guys accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, everything changes. You now live under a new set of governing rules for your lives, the rules that God gives you that say that blessing is the result of obedience, right? If you want to experience the blessing of God, stay inside the boundaries that He sets up. God is the creator. And you guys have heard me say this, I'm sure, many times over the years, but the creator always knows what's best for His creation. And God gives us governing rules for our lives. So in the world, we're governed by the laws of nature, right? And we know that, for example, we're governed in the things that we do every single day by the law of gravity, right? And you guys have heard me say this before. It doesn't matter if I believe in gravity or not. Gravity believes in me. And if I decide to step outside of the parameters of, say, a stage that I'm speaking from, gravity will win and I will fall off the stage. In the kingdom, we are governed by God's laws, and these are much, much different. So what might have worked in the world doesn't work for us in the kingdom. And one of the best ways that I can think to describe this is when you are considering what it is that you want, what is the goal? The question for a Christian should always be, what is God's purpose in my life? What has God given me, whether it's a dream, a vision, whatever it is, that He wants me to sow into? And so the first thing we do is we take that dream, that vision before the Lord. If you guys are listening to this and you're a parent, then the dream and vision that God has for you is going to be found in many ways in the outgrowth of your family and what God does in your family. You've heard me talk on the show before about dynasties, family dynasties. God works through families. And we want to be sure that however we are sowing, especially in the season when we are raising children, when we are building businesses, in the season of building. So that's another really good word for sowing. I like to think of it as building. So whether you're building a business or building a ministry, or maybe you're trying to build a family, we want to employ godly principles. And one of the very first things we need to remember is that if we sow and we build for selfish gain, then we're not going to yield a kingdom harvest. So if the only thing that we're focused on, for example, is money, that's not going to yield a kingdom harvest. The question needs to be, okay, if this business makes money, what does God want me to do with the money? Because everything that we have belongs to Him. Our children belong to Him. Our homes belong to Him. Our money belongs to Him. And so the question becomes, when we look at the principles of sowing and reaping from a biblical perspective, is God at the top of all of our planning? Are we seeking Him? Because when we sow from selfishness, it's not going to produce anything in our lives that's going to be good for the kingdom. And eventually, it only makes us miserable. And we see this oftentimes. That's why I was talking to one of my kids the other day who has a really great idea for a business. And I think it's fabulous. And we're talking about, ways to grow it. And Jay and I are loving this season of encouraging entrepreneurship in our kids. If you've got a great idea, let's see it. Let's try it. Let's pray about it. Let's see what God might want to do. But the focus can't be on, I'm going to get rich. The Bible says that money is the root of all kinds of evil. And all you got to do is look at all of the celebrities that are making $100 million a year and they're terribly unhappy to realize that money you can't buy happiness with it. So when we sow from selfishness, it's not going to produce anything good in our lives. John 12:25 says, he who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And so what's Jesus saying here? The seed has to die, right? If you're going to be sowing, there's going to be a sacrifice. And when there's no sacrifice and there's no death to the seed, you're not going to see the growth that you want. If the seed is going to burst forth new life, the seed itself has to die. So if you want your seed to multiply, the Bible teaches give out of poverty rather than abundance. This was true of the widow's mite, that she gave everything she had to the kingdom. She didn't have much, but what she gave was a tremendous blessing because she gave out of an abundance of her heart, not of an abundance in what she actually had physically to give. So in faith and trust, when you guys are hurting, when you're struggling through seasons of wondering, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? Maybe you're struggling through seasons of illness, maybe struggling in your parenting. This was the question that I addressed yesterday to a mom struggling with prodigal children. This is not the time to turn inward. You're still building. This is not the time to turn inward. It's the time to say, Lord, is there someone that I can minister to even in my own brokenness? Can I give to someone else even in a place of my own struggle? Our true character is really formed when we're going through seasons of disappointment, of discouragement. Do we get back up? Do we wallow? Do we stay down? My friend Jay McKinney, who passed away about 2 years ago after a very long and courageous battle with cancer, was well known for telling people to get back up. Here's this young man who did not live to even see his 50s, but he understood the parable. He understood the parable and the principle of sowing and reaping. And he was reminding people all the time, when difficult times come into your life, when you are faced with circumstances that you did not expect, and maybe you look at that and go, that's not my fault. How come that happened to me? Maybe rather than ask why that happened to you, the question needs to be, Lord, help me to get back up. Help me to walk in such a way that it brings you honor and glory no matter what I'm walking through. And sometimes that means that the dream that we had originally God doesn't want to use it for a kingdom purpose. And so we ask the Lord, Father, what do you want me to do?
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24, Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The next thing you want to remember is that the principle of sowing and reaping in the kingdom, it applies to every season of your life. It applies when you're raising little children. It applies when you are a grandmother or a granddad. It applies whether you have money or whether you don't. We are always making choices. And that's another thing we, you know, lots of conversations happening in our home lately because we are entering a new season at Firmly Planted Family, which I'll share more about that in a minute. But conversations in our home lately about reaping and sowing. And so if we want to reap a harvest of blessing, we need to be sowing in accordance with what God wants us to do. And God is busy in every season of our lives. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 4-6 says, "He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes all things. In the morning, sow your seed. And in the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good." You guys, there are seasons in our lives when we don't feel like sowing. Seasons in our lives when we're going to want to just sit on the couch. There are seasons in our lives when we're tired because of parenting. And it's in these seasons that our discipline and our devotion is needed the most. If we're focused on the conditions around us, we're not going to sow. And our sense of focus has got to change if we're going to experience the blessing of God. A great example of this is a mom who is exhausted. And she is thinking to herself, I don't have time to, I'm too tired. My kids are wearing me out morning, noon, and night. Therefore, I'm going to sleep in the morning. I'm going to give myself a little bit of extra time in the morning. Meanwhile, you are missing out on precious opportunities to train and disciple your children. So probably what needs to happen is that you need to set that time aside that doesn't interfere with the regular hours of your day that you'd be sowing into the lives of your children. God asks for us to sow through every season of our life, through financial difficulty, through whatever it is that we're struggling with. God's dreams and visions for you are still in play. And that brings me kind of to the next thing. Do you have a dream? And a vision, a desire, something that God's put in your heart. I believe that our children come to us very uniquely hardwired for a purpose. And one of the big things that we've done here at the Homeschool Resource Center is try to teach parents how to fold their children where they're bent. In other words, look and see what are the natural gifts and abilities that God has given to your children and help them find out how they can use those for the kingdom, for the glory of God, because God put those dreams and passions and desires into our kids. And as we do that, we've got to remember that God is sovereign over the sowing and the reaping process. In other words, sometimes we're going to do something and we're going to think, this is the thing, this is what's going to work, and then it won't work. And we will say, God, what happened? I prayed about this. I did what you asked me to do. I threw myself into it, heart, soul, mind, spirit. What went wrong? But God had a bigger purpose. God was teaching you something. And so maybe it wasn't the success of that endeavor. Maybe it was something that God was doing in your heart. Listen to this from 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5-8. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you have believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So this is true in every aspect of our lives. And I have thought about this, especially as we're moving into a new season at Firmly Planted Family. You know, God gave Jay and I a vision years and years ago. One of the things we have always labored for and wanted to do is to bring resources to families that would give them the confidence that they would need to say, you know what, I could pull my kids out of the public school system. I can do it. So don't be surprised when God sends someone to water the seed that you are trying to grow. Years ago, Jay and I had a vision to start homeschool cooperatives for families. And it was really born out of a desire in my own heart as a mom when I started homeschooling, you know, 24 some odd years ago. I was lonely. I was looking for friends. We were looking for community, and I was new to homeschooling. And we started a homeschool cooperative up in Northern Washington, and it grew and flourished. And then we moved down to Southern Washington State, and we started, I don't know, three or four more in different churches. And eventually we planted homeschool cooperatives all around the United States, over 60 of them. In fact, around the United States, a couple of them in Germany and in Canada. And we thought, oh man, this is what God's going to want us to do. And we worked and we worked and we worked at it. And it was a very difficult season for our family in a lot of ways, mostly because we really struggled financially to do this thing that we felt God had put on our heart. And eventually we ended up having to let a lot of those homeschool cooperatives. We couldn't manage as many as God had put on our hearts by ourselves. But you know what was happening in the meantime? God was teaching us things. We were learning leadership skills. We were learning how to raise children and start a business. We were learning how to lean into the Lord. Our children saw us crying out to the Lord for help, for wisdom, for provision. If God's given you a vision, then expect God to give you provision for it. And a lot of times that happens because God sends somebody to come alongside and water the seed that you have been planting. And you picked the field. You were like, okay, Lord, this is what I think you want to do. Are you guys praying for the person who's going to come along and water that seed for you? That certainly happened here in Vancouver in 2016. Jay and I, God put it on our hearts to start a full-time homeschool resource center, something that we've wanted to do for a long, long time. But when Barack Obama issued his bathroom edict and said, hey, the public schools, you got to open up your bathrooms to members of the opposite sex. And I remember looking at my husband, I was in Chattanooga at the time, just looking at my husband saying, this is going to injure young girls. And in fact, it absolutely has. And we called a friend of ours in Vancouver and said, hey, do you know anybody that has a building that we could rent? We'd like to open up a full-time homeschool resource center so that parents who are sitting on the fence can go, you know what? I could do this thing. I just need a little help with chemistry. Or I can do this thing, but my kid really wants to be in theater. Or I would like to try homeschooling, but boy, I'm not the crafty mom. I don't think I'm, you know, I don't want my kid to miss out on whatever art or ceramics or music or whatever. That was the heart behind the Homeschool Resource Center. And we prayed about it. And we prayed about it for weeks and months. And God brought through through just the amazing, miraculous provision that only God can provide. He laid it on the heart of an individual to come alongside and help us. And what's really crazy about this is God spoke to that person and said, hey, you're supposed to help Jay and Heidi St. John get this Homeschool Resource Center up off the ground. That's how God works, because God works in kingdom ways. So don't be surprised if God sends someone to water the seed that you have been planting. And if the seed is planted in conjunction with the Lord, you guys, it's going to grow. It's going to grow. God causes all things to grow that are in accordance with his will and his purposes. That's why the principle of sowing and reaping, apart from how God says we're supposed to do it, is really frustrating and can be very, very fruitless. It's got to be dedicated to what God wants, not what we want. You guys, God's kingdom is not like the kingdoms of this world. And sowing and reaping must be done in relationship to God and his purpose, or it's really for nothing. It's really just noise. And so the question has to be, Lord, what do you want me to do with my business? How can I honor you in the way that I am conducting business? How can I honor you in the way that we raise our children? How can we honor you physically? How can we honor you with our money? It all belongs to the Lord. And God's not messing around. Listen to this in Isaiah 17, verses 10 to 12. Because you have forgotten the God of your salvation and have not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold, therefore you will plant pleasant plants and set out foreign seedlings. In the day you will make your plant to grow, and in the morning you will make your seed to flourish. But the harvest will be a heap of ruins in the day of grief and desperate sorrow. Woe to the multitude of many people who make a noise like the roar of the seas and to the rushing of mighty waters.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Guys, the law of sowing and reaping is a spiritual law. It's more than willpower. In the kingdom, the law of sowing and reaping has got to be dedicated to God's purpose. The Bible says, in the morning you will make your seed to flourish, but the harvest will be a heap of ruins. So sowing doesn't necessarily guarantee spiritual gain unless it's sown in accordance with God's purposes. And this is why we want to teach our children that the things that God calls us to are worth giving our whole heart, our whole lives, body, soul, mind, and spirit to pursuing. Whatever it is that God lays on your heart to do, pray about it, you guys. Bring your children into your dreams. Let them know what God's put on your heart and then see what God will do. It's kind of amazing as we're moving into a new season of Firmly Planted Family. So I think I've told you guys the story of this building. When we first got the building, we'd been praying about this for months and years, actually. And eventually someone stepped forward and donated the building to the nonprofit. Well, we have outgrown our facility completely. The parking lot is totally full. We have way more kids than we've got room for, so we have to turn students away. And we would like to be able to do more outreach to the community. And so about 2 years ago, we started praying again, Lord, bring us another facility that we can grow into, one that will allow us to really put feet to the vision that you've given us and expand the borders of influence that you've given to Firmly Planted Family to help parents take their children out of the government school system. We found a building last year. And of course, I'm in the run for Congress, you know, really the fight of my life, never experienced anything like that before. We saw this building. We met with the people that owned it. It didn't quite work out for a variety of reasons. And now we're back in that process again. And the Lord is really helping to bring this dream to fruition. It is coming after years and years of sowing and praying and asking God to bless this vision that we believe is going to bring hope and healing to families who desperately need it right now. And I'm going to encourage you guys to see the next step of the vision that God has given us. So we put an offer on a building. This building is being sold in an exchange, in a 1031 exchange with the owner of the other building. And we're hoping that in July of this year, we can move into a new facility. We need your help to do that. We've raised all but about $1.5 million of the purchase price of the building. And so we're asking people to get on board and help us make this a reality. We want to own the building free and clear so that we don't have to pass the costs of, you know, interest and that kind of thing onto the families that take classes at the Homeschool Resource Center. And you guys can find out about what we are doing at FPF Grow. So it stands for Firmly Planted Family Grow, fpfgrow.com. Check it out. And you guys can see a picture of the building that we hope to move into and get involved with us in the fundraising process. So we're looking for people that can help put a fence around that facility, people that can put a gate up for us. We're going to need help with furniture. We're going to be retrofitting a warehouse space into a gymnasium, all part of a vision that God gave us a long time ago. And so as we end today, I just want to encourage you again, do a little bit of soul searching today in what God has put on your heart, because God gives us dreams and visions for the kingdom. And whether it's whether he's got you in a position right now to come alongside someone else's vision, whether he's given you your own vision, something he wants you to do that's just unique to your family, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And you guys are living in an extraordinary time in history. You're living in an extraordinary time in the history of the church. You're living through an extraordinary time in the history of Western civilization. And God wants your voice to be a voice that speaks for the kingdom and for righteousness. So think about the areas of your life, whether it's your physical health, you reap what you sow. You know, are you exercising? Are you taking a walk? Are you getting up early in the morning? What are you doing to bolster your physical body? Because you sow into it now and you will reap later the benefits or the laziness of that. Same thing with the music that you listen to, the movies that we watch. When we sow bad things into our hearts, we reap a seared conscience. Same thing is true in politics. The Bible teaches us that bad leaders corrupt nations. So if we sow indifference in the political sphere, what we end up reaping is no voice in the decisions that directly affect us. And so I'm going to end today just reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And I hope it's an encouragement to you as it's meant to be. Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellent or worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. 2 Corinthians 9:6, the point is whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And finally, Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 to 9, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Remember, guys, I was telling you that the principle of sowing and reaping is a spiritual principle. And God's ways are not like the ways of the world. And so he's saying, sow and reap in accordance with the word of God. And finally, verse 9, don't grow weary in doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, I love that word. As we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith. So if you want your faith to grow in the areas that God has given you in salvation, then begin to sow the seeds of faith in these areas. Ask the Lord to grow your vision and the dream that he has put in your heart. Say, Lord, is this what you want? Affirm it to me in through prayer and through a testimony of people that are around me. We should be growing in our personal commitment to Christ, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, to be made into the image of Christ, to sow good things into the lives of people around us. And finally, we should be sowing into the spiritual work in our community. So begin to sow seeds in these areas, you guys. And the Bible says, if you do that, if you sow in accordance with godly principles, you will reap a harvest of blessing. Thank you guys so much for listening. I realize, again, I'm a little bit over time today, but I appreciate you guys listening. Again, I hope you'll check out what we're doing at Firmly Planted Family. Really, our heart is to bring these homeschool resource centers to you wherever you are around the country. We have hundreds of requests coming in from people who are saying, we need one of these in our neck of the woods. And it's our heart to begin to plant homeschool resource centers all across the United States. You guys can find out what we're doing and get involved. We need your help. You can be part of the vision that God has given us to help parents find alternatives to the government school systems by going to fpfgrow.com and let us know if you've got any questions. If you guys have a question you'd like me to address at Mailbox Monday, you can go to HeidiSt.John.com/Mailbox Monday. I will see you guys this weekend in South Carolina in Greenville for the Teach Them Diligently conference. I cannot wait. Come out and say hello. And I'm really looking forward to meeting you there. Thanks for listening. I'll see you out here again tomorrow at the intersection of faith